From Delray Beach, Florida, welcome to Life Change Weekend with Dr. Dino Padrone. Hear the stories of individuals who, through their conversion experiences, books written, ministry served, special truths from Scripture, or trips taken, tell their story. These stories and teachings are life-changing. So thank you for joining us, and get set for some life change. Here is your host, Dr. Dino Padrone.
Thank you so much, Mark, and welcome into our weekend edition, Life Change Weekend. Glad you're listening in. In our last newsletter, I wrote this article at the beginning. It said, the world is facing a crisis with numerous issues challenging the very fabric of the Christian faith. And then I wrote this. My good friend Rudy Holland, in a devotional article, writes of the heavy burden he senses. The churches that are in great need to find a bibliocentric pastor who will lead the congregation in a scriptural way. I also noticed someone who listed a question on Facebook about churches needing a pastor, and the response was overwhelming. People need pastors, and pastors are needed. Well, today, I'm glad to have my good friend on with me today, who I quoted there, Dr. Rudy Holland. He and I have been friends for a lot of years. Rudy, welcome into our program.
Thank you, Dr. Padrone. So glad to be able to be with you today.
And where are you right now?
I am in Richmond, Virginia. Well, actually, Chester, a suburb of Richmond, where I now reside.
Yeah, you and I have been friends for a lot of years. I don't remember how many years, Rudy, but I guess back in the early 70s is when we first...
72, 73, 74, 75, somewhere in there.
Yeah. So it's been a wonderful run together. And tell us just a little bit about what you do with NCLL.
National Center for Life and Liberty is a legal ministry that partners with churches. And it basically does a couple of three things. Number one, it provides education or instruction as to how a church can posture itself relative to its bylaws and the such, to kind of give them as much protection as possible in today's society to carry out the gospel. And they also are legal representatives. In other words, we represent churches that wind up in some kind of conflict regarding their ministries. We only do First Amendment and life issues, but many churches today are facing a lot of challenges, and sometimes comments made on in the pulpit goes over the air, and that's challenged as hate speech. And then there's just a whole potpourri of issues that we face. So I am the ministerial representative for that for them. I travel every week. Sometimes I go solely to present NCLL, but that's rare. I always preach. That's part of the understanding that I have, not only with NCLL, but when I go, I always want to preach the Word of God and give the gospel, and as the Spirit of God leads me. But I also represent them and present their ministry. We represent churches, and we, without charge for the most part, and the way we exist is churches come alongside us and partner with us as a mission program for home missions and protection of churches.
Yeah, now let's get to the idea of the purpose of our broadcast here, Rudy. We're talking about pastors, the need of pastors today. You wrote an excellent article in one of your Facebook pages I read, and that's what I was quoting in our newsletter. An article I called World in Crisis. Let's just talk a little bit. What do you see out there with the need of pastors today? Let's start there.
Well, here's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing a lot more churches needing pastors. And we have pastors to fill the pulpits. We have a couple problems. One is the pastors are aging out. The average age of pastors is, and I didn't know exactly what it was, but I've forgotten now, but it's up in the 60s. And so what's happening is, as they age out, there's no one to replace them. The second thing is a natural follow-up, and that is we don't have any young men who are surrendering to go into the ministry. There's a real shortage of pastoral graduates that want to go into the pastorate. And there's a lot of issues around that. One is that we have, and this is to our detriment, we have made the ministry or the pastoring of churches or whatever to be a vocation and a profession instead of a calling from God. Mm-hmm. So we've got all these business approaches now from the church all the way to the candidate. And so that's taken away what I consider to be the heart of the ministry, and that is God has called me, and this is what God wants me to do, and God will meet my needs, and God will direct me, and I'm only to follow his leadership. So there's a real, real, real need for pastors today.
Yeah, the calling, I'm glad you bring that up, Rudy, because a few years ago, as you well know, I stepped down from the presidency of a college. Our family began a foundation, and I preach. That's what I do. I preach. And that's what you do. You preach. And you mentioned earlier, you help NCLL, but you preach. And it is a calling. It isn't a calling for money. It isn't a calling for wealth. It isn't a calling for popularity, but it's the call of God. And that's what we find in the scripture. Noah, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Paul, Peter, all of them called of God to preach. Now, you and I were talking on the phone one day, and again, the calling is something you have. I'm older as you are, Rudy. I'm not going to give our ages on the broadcast today, but we're not the youngest guys, but we want to preach. There's a desire to preach. I'm looking right here at 10 pastors in our newsletter who we support in Myanmar, and each one of them are called to preach, and they're there, some of them older, some of them younger. At the top is my good friend Rick Ramsey, our international director. He's a preacher. When he goes out, he wants to preach. But there was something that happened in your life. You lived on the street there where a very famous pastor was at that you've grown to love, and I grew to love through the years. Tell us a little bit about that story.
Yeah, I was speaking, and I've made these comments on two occasions now, speaking to a group of pastors. And I said, you know, we do not have pastors today, and I understand that the call of God is a call of God, and it comes by the Spirit of God speaking to the heart of an individual and so on. But there's a human element to that that I think today is really missing. I got saved on April 1st of 1965. I had my life all planned out. I was kitchen manager of a Holiday Inn, a five-star restaurant, when I was 18 years old, a second shift kitchen manager. And so I was going into the restaurant world, and I was going to culinary school, yada, yada, yada. But after I got saved, my pastor approached me, and he said, I know you've got your life planned out, but would you consider going to Bible college for a year and just get grounded in the Word? I didn't know what he was talking about. But he said, I'd like for you to go to Tennessee Temple. I had such great respect for him, and he had invested in me and had been my friend, and we had played ball together and everything else. As you said, I lived three doors down from him. But I began to consider that. Now, I guess you say, well, where did you pray about it? Well, I didn't know how to pray hardly. But nonetheless, to the best of my ability, I decided that would be what I should do. So I went to Tennessee Temple, and on January 25th, I had been there just a little over a semester, in a Bible conference, all of a sudden I knew in my heart of hearts God was calling me. God wanted me in full-time service. Now, I didn't know exactly where, the details or anything. I just knew that. And so I made a public commitment that I was changing direction of my life. I was going into ministry. So I stayed more than a year or two. I graduated and so on. And went and became a preacher. Now, when I was a senior, my same pastor, Dr. Falwell, Jerry Falwell, was a guest speaker in one of the chapel services. After the service, he saw me and said, I want to speak to you for a few moments in a few minutes. And I said, all right. So we slid away from the crowds, and he said, you're graduating, I understand. And I said, yes, sir. He said, well, I want you to stay and get as much education as God wants you. But when God is finished with you here, would you pray about either going to Richmond, Virginia or Roanoke, Virginia, and planting a church? And I said, well, I didn't, again, I never really considered any of that. And so I began, my wife and I really began to pray about it. And it was my pastor who encouraged me to go to Bible college. It was my pastor who said, would you consider starting a church? Of course, you know the story. I graduated, my wife and I went to Roanoke, Virginia, and started the Berean Baptist Church. I pastored there for 19 years. God bless that ministry. When I left, it had a strong church and a Christian school, over 300, a daycare of over 100, and many, many folks had come to know the Lord. I was there for 19 years. Now, I say that to say, I don't know very many pastors today that invest their lives in young people. Now, it wasn't just me. The year I went to Tennessee Temple, there were 18 young people out of our youth department who joined me. The next year, there were 22 who came. Out of those two classes, there must have been 8, maybe 9, 10 preachers that came out of that one youth department. I just don't see pastors who have a passion to reproduce themselves. Yeah. I don't mean that critically toward pastors. I'm just simply making an observation. I'm the messenger. Don't kill the messenger. I'm just delivering what I see. I don't see pastors investing themselves in the lives of young men to encourage them to be sensitive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit in their life to go into the ministry. And thus, I think that is a contributing factor, certainly not the only thing, but it's a contributing factor as to why we don't have young men who are going into the ministry today.
Yeah, I think you're hitting a nail on the head, and I'm sure pastors that are listening in, Rudy, are probably thinking through that. You're listening into Life Change Weekend. This is Dino Padron speaking to you. This comes from the Dino Padron Ministries here in Florida. I'm talking to my dear friend, Rudy Howland, and we're talking about the need for pastors today. I quoted a statement in our recent newsletter about the crisis that we're facing, and I quoted my good friend, Rudy Howland, who wrote an excellent devotional article on that on his Facebook page. And speaking about that. And, you know, Rudy, when I look back at your life, when you talk about going to be a chef, the fact of the matter is you were a chef. I mean, as you well know, you have taught my daughter how to do steak. Like, we have never had steak in our life before. And you have a touch of brilliance when it comes to cooking. And you walked away from that because of a calling. And that calling, yes, is from God, but it was instilled in you in a practical sense by your pastor, Jerry Falwell, saying to you, would you consider Richmond? Would you consider Roanoke? Would you consider something here? So I think you're onto something there, Rudy. What do you suggest for pastors? What do you think they should do here?
You know, I've thought often about this, and I think one of the things that was instilled in me and by Dr. Falwell and by Lee Robertson, president founder of Tennessee Temple, and others, is that if I was a pastor, I'd make much of my children's ministry, and I would make much, very much, of my teen ministry. And I don't mean just say, okay, we're going to hire a youth director. We had youth directors. I mean, Harold Knowles was my youth director when I was growing up. But Dr. Falwell invested his life in the teens, not in just me. I said Roanoke and Richmond. Well, Richmond, Danny Smith came to Richmond, and there were a host of other young men. He invested, he rubbed shoulders with us. He was always involved with us. He wasn't just a pastor we listened to up in the pulpit who was the teaching pastor, you know. I don't mean to sound critical, but I'm just going to make a statement. I think today we have focused so much on this teaching pastor, and he's going to stay up there, and he's the man that God has given the message, and everybody just come and listen to him, but he's untouchable. That was not Jerry Falwell. I mean, and I trust it was not me. He was touchable. He talked to us. It was nothing for him to grab a mitt and go out and let's play catch or join us in a tag football game or come and play basketball with. I mean, and then he talked to us and he shared. He was, and because of those kind of things, and I'm not saying every pastor needs to do that. That's certainly not. I'm just talking about letting the young people know, I care about you and I'm interested in you and I believe God's got something special for you. And now I'm willing to listen, that young person, as a young person, I was willing to listen. Not that he called me. Dr. Fulmer didn't call me. God called me. But on the other hand, I was willing to listen to him as he said, listen to God. Sort of like Paul said, you know, follow me as I follow the Lord.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, that's a missing element today. Mm-hmm. I go to churches Sunday after Sunday. Last year I spoke in 56 churches. I'm telling you, I go to church after church after church to have 3, 4, some none. A large youth department of days 20. You know, we had over 150 teens in our youth department when I was at Thomas Road. When I was pastor in Roanoke, we averaged between 80 and 100 teenagers. You say, well, how did you do that? We made that a priority of our ministry, you know. And I think today we have to go and focus on children. If I can take 1 minute and share one thing, I was recently with a man who I have great respect for, and he's with a small Bible college out of Texas, Texas Bible Institute, and Brother Wallace, Robert Wallace. Robert Wallace lectured on We've Lost the Last Generation, How Do We Reclaim It? And I thought it was an interesting lecture because his entire emphasis was the way we reclaim and recover the loss of the last generation is through their children and their teens. And that is so true. That's so true. And we just don't have that emphasis anymore. And it's an unfortunate thing.
Well, you know, as you travel, Rudy, I think you can make a great influence. I know you love young people. I think it's great what you're doing out there. You're listening to Life Change Weekend. This is Dino Padron talking to you. I'm speaking today with our good friend Rudy Howland, who is talking to us about the need of pastors and preachers and giving us some very practical helps. I want to thank all of you that write in and send emails to us. Here's some recent emails we received. I am now a follower of Jesus Christ through your ministry. That comes to us all the way from Pakistan. We thank the Lord for the posts and the live streams that we send to Pakistan. Here's one from India. I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Another one from Virginia. Love to start my day with your devotionals. And one from New York. Please use the enclosed gift for pastors in Myanmar. Just wonderful to hear from each of you when you write in. We thank the Lord for all of you that listen to our programs. Our broadcasts are now going up and down into the Northeast, also up and down various parts of America through Mission Go International Radio. Also, our broadcast is in Radio East Africa to most of the English-speaking people there out of Uganda. So thank you. Thank you for writing in. Thank you for praying for us. Many of you give to the broadcast, and thank you for that as well. And thank you for your prayers and gifts toward our students, our pastors in Myanmar. We support 10 pastors on a regular basis there, and that's been such a wonderful blessing. Rudy, is there a passage of Scripture that speaks out to you that would help pastors to think about this consideration? I remember a man just recently came to me. He's 55 years of age, and he was very serious, and I could tell he wanted to ask me something. He kept talking about other things for a while, but then I said, well, what do you want to really ask me? He said, well, am I too old to be a pastor? I feel God called me. I never answered the call. What would you say to that man to read in Scripture that would help him with understanding and fulfilling the call that God gave him? Of course, I told him, God has never done it. If you've got the call is for your life. But what would you tell him with Scripture?
Well, I was just thinking as you said that, and very honestly, I didn't know you were going to ask me that, and I don't have my glasses with me. But I was just thinking about a verse that Paul said of himself when he said that it was God who counted him worthy to preach the gospel. I think it's in 2 Timothy chapter number 1. I just found my Bible. I'm flipping there now. And I normally can quote that until you call on me.
I know the verse, though. That's a great verse, by the way, it is.
But anyway, I've seen some great men answer the call to preach in later in life. and go on. I had a gentleman in my church who came to my office one day. He was 70 years old, and said, God wanted me to start a church. And he said, God's called me for you to want to start a church. And I said, sure, and I ordained him. And sure enough, he went out and started a church. But the verse that I would use is to give to encourage people is 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. It said, and I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Now, there are several things there that I would just quickly point out. First of all, it's God who enables us. You know, if I had to preach under my own abilities and strength, it wouldn't be any more than sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. But it's God who enables us. Secondly, I don't deserve to be a preacher. I don't deserve to be a representative of the Lord Jesus, but he counted me faithful. It's his sovereignty and his will, and it's his faithfulness. And then the last thing is God who puts you into the ministry. And if God puts you into the ministry, don't ever step down to take any less a calling, because there is no greater calling than preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember, and I'll close with this, I remember saying to my pastor one time, I said, you know, your name is floating around. This is back many, many years ago. Your name's been floating around possibly by some other religious groups, and maybe would you consider being vice president of the United States? And he looked at me and he said, he called me Rudolph because he knew I didn't like that. Rudolph, I would not step down to a lesser calling to be the president of the United States. I'd rather be the pastor of the Thomas Road Baptist Church.
Rudy, would you do this right now, just in the next few moments, lead us in prayer for God to speak to hearts of men that God is calling to preach.
Our Father, we just ask that you would raise up servants. You said the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. And Lord, you said if we pray to the Lord of the harvest, that you would send forth laborers. So right now, I pray for laborers. Lord, you know, as I go out and I look across the congregations, I look for young faces, I look for teenagers, I look for college age, I look for the young adult, the young professionals that could just say yes. And oh God, I pray that you would raise up preachers, pastors who will be true to the Word of God, pastors who will have a passion to win souls. You know, Lord, I pray for our preachers. Oh God, may we awaken to the fact that we need to invest our lives in young people and in young adults, and encourage those that we are ministering to have an ear to listen for the call of God in their life. We don't call men, Lord. You're the one who chooses and calls, but I don't think the problem is your calling. I think the problem is those that are not listening. So may we encourage those around us to listen for the call of God in their lives. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for calling us into the ministry. Thank you for my dear friend, Dr. Padron. Thank you for his passion, his ministry. Lord, I pray that you would just continue to bless him in a special way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much, Rudy. It's a great having you on today. You've been listening into Life Change Weekend. And this is Dina Padron talking to you with my good friend Rudy Howland. I got a note here, a letter that was sent to us just the other day. It says, Shabbat Shalom. Thank you for your support of Israel. And may I see as we go off the air today, pray for Israel. Pray for what's going on there, for God to intervene in a powerful way. And then as we've been talking about in our topic today, pray and pray for people to obey the call of God into the ministry. That, my friend, is life-changing. We need life change.
You've been listening to Life Change Weekend. Life Change is brought to you through the International Dino Padron Ministry, which includes radio, television, live stream programming, podcasts, literature, online education, the support of indigenous ministries, and progressive approaches to help people grow their faith. To receive our complimentary monthly newsletter, send your postal or email address to dinopadrone@gmail.com or dinopadroneministries.org. That's dinopadrone@gmail.com or dinopadroneministries.org. Stay tuned to our weekday Bible study, Monday through Friday. Thank you for joining us, and we'll be with you next week on Life Change Weekend.